And let's get to the political news. Republican Karen Handel won by 5 points in the Atlanta suburbs over Democrat John Ossoff in that special House race last night. And Republican Ralph Norman won a different special House election in South Carolina, though Democrat Archie Parnell came closer than expected. This morning, President Trump tweeted, "Democrats would do much better as a party if they got together with Republicans on health care, tax cuts, security. Obstruction doesn't work." Let's bring in our Here and Now political analyst, Paris Denard, Republican strategist. Hi, Paris.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Jamal Simmons, a Democratic strategist, is with us as well. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, good to be here.
Good to have both of you. And I want to start with what you guys were tweeting last night. Starting with you, Jamal, you wrote, "I hope Dems listen to one clear message from 2016 in Ossoff. Anti-Trump is not enough. We need a plan to change the game for working people." Explain.
Absolutely. So I've been saying this since Hillary Clinton was running for president last fall, that the Democrats need to, and really before that, the Democrats need to have a message that is focused on the challenges that working people have, but is also aspirational. And the thing we have to remember is most Americans came to this country in order to do better than the place that they came from. They come from families where that's the case. Even African Americans who were brought here in chains, the ones who left the South and went North, went there because they were aspiring to a better life. Democrats have got to find a way to tap into that aspirational economic vision that Americans had. And frankly, President Trump did that in the last election. Democrats didn't. We just ran an anti-Trump campaign in the end. And the National Democratic Party is still being too anti-Trump and not focused enough on handling the economic problems real Americans have.
And you think John Ossoff did not do that?
I think John Ossoff tried to do it in his individual race. The problem is you've got a brand in the Democratic Party that has flaws. And so any individual is going to have trouble running underneath a flawed brand. And that's what Democrats have to fix, our national standing.
Are Democrats going to be able to pick what that brand is, given the divisions in the party right now?
Oh, I think that we're very united when it comes to the values of what we stand for, which is that everybody in the party gets to have an opportunity to succeed. We're going to find a way to focus on children and make sure that they have a chance, you know, in the education system. And there are all sorts of ways you can come at it. Individual candidates are going to run the races that are important for them. And that's another point, which is that we've got to find candidates that have a local street cred. They've got to be people who come from communities that already have a following in community, and then let's get behind them, not try to find some great trial lawyer or some great activist and build a constituency for that person.
Paris, you tweeted last night, "The clean GOP sweep tonight in GA6 and SC5 is a clear indictment on the failure of the Democratic Party in the age of Donald Trump. Make America great again."
Yeah, that's true. Listen, Democrats are in disarray. And I think what Jamal was pretty much saying is that you can't find a candidate who doesn't even live in the district to run for the congressional seat, nor can you rely on outside donations to make this the most expensive congressional race in history and think that the people in the district aren't going to have a voice. At the end of the day, this is what we know from the race, especially in Georgia. One, the resistance movement is not resisting anything but the Democratic Party's platform. Two, we know that money alone can't buy you an election. And three, Republicans still support President Trump, his candidates, and people who want to carry the Trump message to Congress. Look, another thing that came out yesterday, Jeremy, was the fact that the GOP in May raised almost $11 million, which set another post-presidential record. There is enthusiasm on our side of the aisle. There are people who want to work with this president to get things done. And to Jamal's point about aspiration, the aspiration is also on the side of the Republicans, because when the president talks about make America great again, hire American, buy American, and all of these companies that are trying to do more to support American jobs, these are things that are aspirational and inspirational, and that is the enthusiasm that you see on the GOP side.
And just remember, resistance will get Democrats to 48%. We've now seen that in two elections. The way you get to 50, 51% is through vision. And that's the thing that we've been arguing about as Democratic parties, as a Democratic Party, is how to lay out that vision. But I will say this one last thing. Let's temper a little bit of the joy on the Republican side. This is a seat where Republicans won by 24 points in the past. Democrats closed that to about a 4-point margin. If that holds up in the seats we have to win next year, which are really 10-point seats, seats where Democratic candidates have lost by 10 points, that's a really bad omen for
Republicans. What about that, Paris?
Well, I think if you look at, if we want to be honest about this seat, they tried to make it a national election, an indictment on President Trump. But this seat, especially Georgia 6, President Trump, I believe, won it by one percentage point.
But President Trump is not what we're talking about. We're talking about congressional candidate versus congressional candidate, not presidential candidates.
Exactly. But I think that the notion to make this out to be a district that was overwhelmingly red, like Democrats like to change the narrative.
Are you kidding? That was Newt Gingrich's district.
It was Newt Gingrich's district. But if that was the case, if it was such a strong Republican stronghold, President Trump would have done a lot better in Georgia red. The point is, everyone thought Ossoff was going to win, and the momentum was on his side. He was young. He was attractive. He was very articulate. He had a message. He was inspirational to all these people. All these people, celebrities were coming in. But at the end of the day, what matters is you have to make this about a local election. You have to have a vision. You have to have a message. And it did not resonate with the people in Georgia 6.
Okay. Now listen to this clip, because this is from the winner of that race, Karen Handel, speaking last night, thanking the president without using his name.
And a special thanks to the president of the United States of America.
So they're starting to shout Trump, 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 but she didn't use his name, Paris. What's that about?
I think everybody in America and around the world knows that Donald J. Trump is the president of the United States of America.
But why doesn't she use his name? I mean, are Republicans, even when they are able to win in the age of Trump, are they scared to associate themselves with him?
I support the president of the United States.
Okay.
And I pause, and you know exactly who I'm talking about, Donald J. Trump.
Well, no, there's no question about who you're talking about.
There's no there there.
Right.
Jeremy, there's no there there.
Oh, there clearly is. I mean, what Karen Handel knows is that Donald Trump also is very flawed. And so they've got to be very careful how they go forward with the president. That could very well end up mired only in more muck going forward. And I just want to say one more thing about this election before we move any further is, you know, sometimes losing is okay. In 2006, Harold Ford Jr. lost an election for Senate in Tennessee against Bob Corker, but he lost it very narrowly. And what we learned in that election was that white voters will vote for an African-American candidate more even than they voted for previous white candidates. That election was a setup for Barack Obama in 2008, and it really gave us a lot of sense that he could win in the national election. So I think the Republicans get credit for the win. Congratulations. But let's not crow too much. There's a lot of things for Democrats to learn from.
But at the end of the day, Bob Corker is still a United States Senator, and Harold Ford is a commentator on TV in New York. So
yeah, but John McCain did not become president. What I'm saying is it's not about the individual election. You can lose an election. Congratulations. I'm not taking that away from you. What I'm saying is there are things to learn in an election even when you lose, and you ought to pay attention to those things.
Now he wants to make it about the presidential election. When I brought up the presidential election, he said, no, it's a local election. No, local elections matter. Corker won. Ford lost. That's the point.
Okay.
Carol Handel won.
Let's listen to Bob Corker. I'm glad you brought him up, because he was talking yesterday on MSNBC about the health care bill that is making its way through the Senate, the Republican health care bill, which is being done behind closed doors. Let's listen to Bob Corker.
You know, I would have liked, as you already know, for this to be a more open process and to have committee hearings, but that's not what we're doing. At the end of the day, that doesn't preclude my responsibilities as a senator to either vote yes or no based on the substance that's in it. And I certainly look forward to diving into that substance.
Jamal, as a Democrat, do you think that they're going to be able to get this bill passed through the Senate and repeal and replace Obamacare?
You know, they have a lot of vested interest in voting for a repeal of Obamacare. They ought to be very cautious about doing that, because this bill they're talking about, the Republican approach, is very unpopular in the country if you look at the polls. So they could get a bill passed. It might be the undoing of their majority, absolutely, if they do it. But they certainly could do it, for sure.
Paris, what do you think?
I think the Republican Party is very aware of the fact that we have to do well in 2018, and we want this winning streak to continue. And so this Obamacare repeal and replace is going to be an important factor in those elections. But more importantly, it's about the American people. And so I believe the Senate is going to do the right thing and try to have consensus and do something that's going to actually benefit the American people and give them something that is better. And so whether it's behind
Does that those, mean this bill, or are you saying that you think that they're going to come up with something else?
Well, I think every indicator from all the senators, especially the Republican senators, have said that they're going to do something that's different, because a lot of people did not like the bill that came out of the House, which is fine. But at the end of the day, as long as we get something that is a good bill, a better bill for the American people, that's what the voters want. And I believe that's what the president at the end of the day wants. Because remember, he's not an ideologue. He's going to make Republicans upset. He's going to make Democrats upset. He's going to go for the good deal. And I think the Senate knows that.
On the merits, this bill is going to be garbage. It will cause It would cause voters' health care prices to go up. Medicaid folks will lose coverage, and it will be something that people look back at and long for the days of Obamacare if it actually gets implemented.
Well, what if it is close to the health care bill that passed through the House, Paris, and it does send 20-some million people off their health care? What's the consequence of that for Republicans if that's what happens?
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. But, if we want to play hypotheticals, what we have to ask the question is fundamentally, do you want to have affordable care or do you want to have just access? And I think it's the access versus affordability is the question that we're going to ask. And remember, before Obamacare, these people weren't on it. So this doom and gloom is not very valid. We have to be honest with what we are facing. And Obamacare premiums are rising every single day. We saw what happened in Iowa. And so we have to be very honest about this debate. Obamacare is not perfect. It needs to be changed. It needs to be amended. How far you go is what the Senate has got to figure out today and next coming days.
That's Paris Denard, a Republican strategist, and Jamal Simmons, Democratic strategist, both Here and Now political analysts. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you. Shirley.